Turn to hymn number 208, Love Divine, All Love Excelling. Love Divine, All Love Excelling, Joy of that to earth come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded Lord thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling heart. Breathe, oh breathe, thy loving spirit into every troubled breast. Let us all in thee inherit, let us find the promised rest. Take away our bent to sinning, Alpha and Omega be. Reveal faith as its beginning, set our hearts at liberty. Come, Almighty, to deliver, let us all thy grace receive. Suddenly return and never, never more thy temple leave. Thee we would be always blessing, serve thee as thy host above. Pray and praise thee without ceasing, glory and thy perfect love. Finish then thy new creation, pure and spotless let us be. Let us see thy great salvation, perfectly restored in thee. Change from glory into glory, till in life we take our place. Till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder, love, and praise.
Amen.
Would you greet everyone in the house of the Lord this morning? Let them know how happy you are to see them today. Good to see you. How was your week? Thank you so much. Now, I have a piece of information for you this morning, and you can utilize it, or you can put it in file 13. I don't really care. But I really appreciate you wearing the name tags. You've taken to that better than I had hoped, and I am thankful for it. And when Brother Owens gets here, sometime around the middle of May, I think, he's working through some medical issues, but he should get those resolved soon. We'll have a lot more visitors, and they will like the fact you're wearing those name tags as well as you will, that there are people here that you don't have to try to remember their names. They're wearing that. But I've added an extra touch to that this morning. And I don't know if you can see it from where you are, but that's fine. But I have my own personalized name tag right here, being held on by magnets, not, you know, so I'm not advocating for something that's going to ruin your blouse or dress. Ladies and men, I don't care about your shirts, but I do care about the ladies. If you'll go online, and I don't care where, just go online and put in personal name tag. There are all sorts of sites that come up. Having your own personal name tag, $6. $6. Matter of fact, for $6 you can get 5 lines, so you could put your name on it, you know, you could put your blood type on it, you could advertise for Amway on it, whatever, but all I've got is just Pastor Cooper on it. So, you know, put it on your garment before you put it on and just start wearing that, and you don't have to fill out that name tag when you get here. I appreciate what you're doing, and please keep it up. Brother Donnie, would you come lead us in our morning prayer, please?
You have your bulletin, and in the bulletin, is a list of people that we need prayer for. So let's bow our heads and pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, just lifting up these on the prayer list, Lord. You know the sick, you know the needs of all each one, Lord. We just pray that you'll meet those needs. Thank you for the rain, Lord, for all that you've given us. Open our hearts to the message that you have for us this morning. Lead and guide us, I ask these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Now if we get our hymnal again and open up to page 502, open my eyes that I may see. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me, Spirit divine. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave tones fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me, Spirit divine. Open my mouth and let me bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare share, life with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illuminate me, Spirit divine. All right, if you all please stand for the offertory hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee. My Jesus, I love thee, I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior thou art. If purchased my pardon on Calvary stream. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love
gift of your Son, the glory that is promised to all that follow. I would pray now that as we have just sung that My Jesus is Now, that we let everyone know that Jesus is there for everyone. All one has to do is ask. I pray that we give back to our congregation, and I pray that we just treat each other, each person that we meet each day, in a fashion that would be to your glory. I pray this in your precious Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
I hate to admit it, but we're down on numbers this morning in the choir and at choir practice too. So everybody's the choir this morning. So if you'll all grab your hymnal and turn to hymn number 161, one of my all-time favorites, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Please stand up. Crown Him with many crowns, a Lamb upon His throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns our music, but it's on. Awake, my soul, and sing of Him who died for thee, and hail Him as thy matchless King throughout eternity. Crown Him the Lord of life, who triumphs o'er the grave, and rose victorious in the strife for those He came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown Him the Lord of peace, whose power a scepter sways, from pole to pole that wars may cease, and all be prayer and praise. His reign shall know no end, and round His blessed feet prayer floods of paradise extend their fragrance ever sweet. Crown Him the Lord of love, behold His hands and side, those wounds yet visible above in beauty glorified. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for Thou hast died for me, and praise and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Amen.
Thank you, Graham. Let's open our Bibles today to Joshua chapter 3 and verse 14, reading verses 14 through 17 this morning. So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabat, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant and of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground, moving to the promised land. You ever done any moving? I mean, sometimes it's more pronounced than others. You may be moving into a new house. You might be moving to a new job. It's a task. It really is. And you can break it down in three simple steps. Number one, you got to pack up. You hear me? You got to pack up. You're never going to move anywhere until you get motivated enough to start packing up all that junk you got in your house or in your office or wherever it might be or in your shop. And once you get it packed up, the second thing you have to do, you have to move out. You've got to get it into whatever and get from wherever you are to where it is you want to go. And then you've got to move on in that direction with the expectation of getting there. You say, well, everybody understands that. Terry Watkins was a friend of our family and a member of our church, close friend of Miss Cooper. And she was moving from Georgia to Texas. I don't remember where. I think it must have been Dallas because we saw her and her husband in a convention out here when Southern Baptists were meeting here. And she came by my office on her way out of town. Now, you've heard the expression, poor as a church mouse? You heard that? She was more broke than that. And I said, are you ready for your trip? Yep. I said, you sure? She said, yep. I said, tell me about it. She said, this gospel truth. She said, I have enough money to get to Mississippi. I didn't make that up. And I said, now what are you going to do when you get to Mississippi? I don't know, but I'll figure something out. Well, the children of Israel, you know, spent 400 years in Egypt. And Moses came along and, you know, and confronts Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And so finally, after the plagues, he let them go. Then he pursued them and they crossed the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army drowned in the Red Sea. And they wandered up, you know, across an area that would be considered Jordan to get close to going over into the promised land, and they sent the spies under Moses' leadership, and they came back with a bad report. So God cursed them. For 40 years they wandered in the wilderness, and Moses is dead. And Joshua said, God says it's time to go. So in verse 14, it says, so the people broke camp to cross the Jordan. They're ready to finally go to the land that God had promised them before Abram left Ur of the Chaldees to cross the Fertile Crescent to come to the promised land that's Israel today. And they've been in Egypt during the famine, and they've failed to cross over the first opportunity they have, but now they have the opportunity to cross over Jordan. And the packing up is the first step of faith. Preparation for the journey requires faith. Remember that night, I never forgot it. We were very young, Ms. Cooper and I. We had our first child. I'm working two jobs. A lot of you did the same thing. Worked at Belk's department store, you know, there in a small town in South Carolina, and pastored a small country church. And I came in that night, pulled in the driveway at the parsonage. The church is sitting right up on a hill, you know, walking distance, just sitting up there, a little white frame church where all of us started. And the Lord said to me, sitting there, he said, Cooper, unless you go back and finish college, that's all you're ever going to have. That's it. And I walked into the house and said to Miss Cooper, I said, I'm going back to college. Now, we ain't got no money. You remember those days? Ain't got no money. That ain't good English. Well, we didn't have any money either. You know, we had a child that wasn't a year old. You know, we had college debt from 2 years that we had. College was a long ways off, you know. But you got to start somewhere. You got to pack up. And then when we get into the story how the Lord opened that door, you've got to move out. And you've got to stay with the journey that requires active faith. Now, all of that sounds great. And they packed up and they got ready to move out. But there was a problem. And this is a message that I ought not to call move into the promised land. I ought to call it but. Because I've got three buts, obstacles in this. It's time to move out. But has anybody noticed that the river's at flood stage? You know, just a small problem here. They don't have access to the Corps of Engineers. They don't have any pontoon bridges. They don't have any helicopters to come and fly them out. They got to somehow get across that river. That's the most obvious thing you can see. But understand me now. That's not the only obstacle that's there. Everything that existed when the first spies went out is still there. What's on the other side of the Jordan? Well, Jericho's still there. Jericho is a walled city. That's the way they protected themselves back in those days. They built walls around the city. And not just any kind of wall around Jericho, but one big enough you could ride chariots on the top of it. Substantial enemy. The spies said there were giants in the land. Huge people. These are some of the descendants of Goliath that are there. That's still there. The land, you know, I love this. God said it's their land, right? It's the promised land. It's their land. Somebody didn't get the memo. All right? Look at verse 10. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that you will certainly drive out before you. This is who's living there now. The Canaanites, Hittites, Hevites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites, and probably some termites to go with it. I mean, you know, as a kid, I used to listen to my daddy read those Old Testament names. I did. And listen to the adults in the church teaching us in Sunday school to struggle with it. And in seminary, you know, the professors just rattled through that. And I got thinking, this, I'm just telling you this to help you. I said, how are they able to do that? Listen to what I'm about to say. Nobody knows how to pronounce them. So if you're reading, don't apologize. Just do the best you can. The land's occupied. The river's at flood stage. There are giants in the land. Every conceivable obstacle you can imagine is there. Now, in the church today, we don't have the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Hevites and all them other ites. We don't have them. They're not here. What we have in the modern day church is what I call the Cold Water Committee. You say, what is that? Well, you can tell her that I said this about her when she's not, because she's not here today. But you know, I live with one. My wife a lot of the times is the Cold Water Committee. I say, I'm going to do so and so, and she said, how are you going to do that? You said, that sweet lady's not like that. We decided to build a house. Ourselves to build a house. We built a few things, you know. So we looking at buying a piece of land and all of that. So she calls her brother up in South Carolina and says to him, do you think Lester can build a house? That's Cold Water Committee. My first church, we were going to build a nice big building, big worship center, all that kind of stuff, expand the Sunday school space, do this and that. We made plans. We had a groundbreaking for it. We were so excited this was going to happen. And I stood right at the spot that the building was going with three deacons that said, we don't think you need this, but if y'all want to build it, y'all go ahead. We don't want to stand in the way. Killed it deader than a hammer. I bet the Boy Scouts full of Cold Water Committees. I just know it is, you know, just the PTAs got them. Churches have got them. God's trying to do something. Well, we don't need that, or we can't do that. The devil never objects to working overtime to mess up whatever God's doing. There was a river at flood stage. Could not avoid it. It's just there, you know. How many Israelites you think crossed over? I mean, that group, you read about them all through the Old Testament. How many people do you think that was? Probably in the neighborhood of 3 million. That's a lot of people. If you don't do anything but weigh them, that's a bunch. You know how many family groups are there? You know how many men's clubs must be there? Can you imagine the complaining? It's hot. I'm tired. You know, I'm. You know, what's Joshua think? Doesn't he realize that I'm 8 months pregnant, about to have another child, and how are we going to cross over there? And what's on the other side? And who's going to feed us? And where's the food? And where's the water there? And where are we going to pitch a tent? And I've had to leave stuff home that my mother gave me, and I'm really not happy about going, and I just know I ain't going to do it. Well, the second thing here, that you look at all of those obstacles, is this. But God is our administrator. You hear me? God is our administrator. You remember I said earlier about, you know, going back to college, and I applied to college, just pick a little snippet out of that, and I knew I'd be accepted. You know, I was a Baptist, and I did 2 years in a Baptist school, and Baptists just treat Baptists nice, and so that came, and with the letter it came, they wanted a $50 deposit. Do you remember I said, ain't got no money? Do you remember that? Didn't have any money. Didn't. So I'm working at Belk's, and this gentleman walks up to me, and he said, are you Lester Cooper? Yeah. Said, do you pastor, you know, Fairview Baptist Church? And he said, yeah. Yeah, I'm 21 years old. And he said, well, we met with the deacons at our church last night, and we decided to have a youth revival. And we decided that whoever preaches the youth revival, we're going to give them $50. I didn't know that church existed. I didn't know that pastor existed. I don't know how he got my name. The only thing I had that he was looking for was I still a kid, young. What did I need? What does the Bible say in the Lord's Prayer? Give us this day our daily bread. And my daily bread that day was $50. You want to hear another part of that story? I do this really quick because you just love it. That revival started on a Sunday night. So on a Sunday night, I'm in my house and at the door, and I go to the door and open the door, and there stands that preacher. And he says to me, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "You're starting a revival tonight in my church." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "That's next week." He said, "No, it's not. It's tonight." And I said, "Tell him to sing another song while I hurry up there as quick as I can to get there." God is our administrator. God has the responsibility to provide the food. God has the responsibility to dry up the river. God has the responsibility to see that everybody gets over there. And you know what? If you got a pond or something and it's drying up, you know how muddy and all it is around the edge? It says they crossed over on dry ground. It was God's responsibility to get them there. So, if you had to cross the river, when would you want God to dry up the water? Now just think about it. You know it's out there. And the instructions are to follow the priests that are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And you can see them heading toward the water. And, you know, the Coal Water Committee sitting on the side said, "See, I told you it ain't going to work. I told you it wouldn't work. We'll get out there. We're going to lose the Ark of the Covenant. God's going to be mad at us." The Bible said that the water dried up when the priest put their foot over it and started down. It dried up. Well, isn't that kind of late? Wouldn't it have been better if you'd dried it up, you know, when they were 100 yards back up here? Where's faith in that? You know, God always comes on to people of faith at the moment it's needed. Why spend all that time worrying about it? If God has led you to that point, if God has put you to this point in this life, God has pointed you in a direction, God has the obligation to work out the things that need to be worked out for you to be able to exercise the faith to make it happen. I've been listening to folks since I've been here that all the roofs we've got leak. You know that? We've sprung a leak back there in the Welcome Center. It's leaking in this hallway over here today. You know, there's a bucket on the floor. So why haven't you done anything about it? Well, you see, you shouldn't be up there in the pulpit complaining. Why not? I've listened to other people complain about it. I'm not talking down to you. The answer to that question is not hard, because we ain't got no money. You hear that? I went to Lowe's and the Home Depot, and I went in the roofing department, and I explained the situation, and I said, "This is God's work, and God's house, and you ought to give us the roofing material." That sounds reasonable to me. And they said, "Well, God got any credit cards? Does he have an American Express? You know, I mean, we won't give it to anybody." So it really got bad last July the 4th. Remember that big storm that came in, that 27-foot wall of water that wiped out Camp Mystic up north of us, and all the inches of water that fell here and the flood that ran through the building, literally. So we started working. And the roofer came up with a big price, and the insurance company turned it down. And then we hired this attorney. He said, "I'll work for free." And today we got $67,000 to pay to get the roof fixed. You know when we needed that $67,000? Last Wednesday night when he told us what it was going to cost. It's not going to cover all of it, but it's going to cover the bulk of it. I promise you, you know. God just worked it out. We just need to get lying, you know, under the spigot where he's blessing the faith of his people and trust him. In 1962, 64, probably about 1965, Nettie called a guy to be music director in our church in South Carolina, Lander Medley. And Lander found a little song that my daddy just loved about faith called Got Any Rivers. And Sherry, I don't know if it's still around anywhere, but if you can find it, I want us to sing it. You know, Got Any Rivers? Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He does the things others cannot do. I'd sing the rest of it. I can't remember the words. Just think about it. Got any rivers you can't get across? Got mountains you can't get through? God specializes in things thought impossible. Focus on obedience and don't worry about the hard stuff. Last thought this morning. But God never lost his focus. Now, the Bible says, seriously, it just uses these words, that he piled up the water in a heap. So, when they're crossing, you know, across, you know, I don't know how far upstream, because it mentions it, I don't know how far that is, but 3 million people cross it, and somebody can see that wall of water standing there. That's not a natural occurrence. So, the obvious thing that a sensible person would do would be try to move away from it, because you don't ever know when it's going to collapse. Come on. This is not natural, and we're walking on dry ground where the Jordan River was, and once everybody got across and God pulled the plug, it just went right back where it was before. How do you know when that's going to happen? Maybe it might happen while we're standing there. Well, 2 million people got across. Come on, honey, let's go. I'm not going out there. You know, not me. No. If you're going to move over to Jordan, move over to the Promised Land and cross the Jordan, come on. You got to pack up. You got to move out. Got to trust the Lord. You got to keep going till you get there. God is prepared to see us all the way home. And I'm finishing tonight with this last thought. We need to plan to finish well. Plan to finish well. I have some minister friends who started in the ministry but fell by the wayside. And I remember he's probably passed on now, but one of my favorite evangelists in Southern Baptist Convention was a guy named Junior Hill out of Huntsville, Alabama. Preached in several evangelism conferences that I was in. Heard him speak in some churches where he was close enough that I could go and hear him again. And the last time that I had him speak in my associational meeting, he was well into his 70s. And I said to him, just me and him talking, I said, "Junior, I'm glad you're finishing well. I'm so thankful for that faithfulness that has been lived out year after year after year." I'm not home yet, but I'm obviously closer than I've ever been. I am. That's just the reality. I've listened to a pastor I had one time talk about. He said, I'm in the last quarter. I'm hoping I'm in the red zone because I intend to finish well. It's been a long journey. So I'm a kid, youth director in a church in North Carolina, and I'm walking downtown this little bitty town. I mean, little bitty town, 3,000, little bitty town. And I'm just walking in the little business district, both streets of them. And one of the men from the church is there, and he's on up in years. As a matter of fact, he was 80. And I remember that. My 80th birthday is this year. And he said to me, "Cooper," said, "how do you feel?" And I said, "Well, not that good." I said, "I don't feel well enough to be up, but I don't feel sick enough to be in bed." And then he said, "When you're my age, that's the way you feel on a good day." I get a witness? Huh? Joseph, get your hand up. You. It's not as easy to go now as it used to be. It's not. But as long as the Lord's providing the fire, as long as He's unfolding the Scriptures, I want to be found faithful to them. I want to remain faithful to my Lord. I want to go where He's leading me to go. I want to trust Him for the sustenance necessary to make the journey. I want to finish well. And I want all of you to go with me as God leads us home. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you today for your Son. Thank you for your love and mercy and kindness in working with us, in leading us home, leading us to the promised land. Lord, we're not there yet. But as I heard one preacher say one day, I have been to the mountain and I have seen the promised land. Lord, help us remain faithful on the journey. Faithful till we get there to the heavenly home you're providing for us. Is our prayer in Jesus' name we pray this morning. And amen. Let's stand for our invitation hymn. And you come as God leads you to come, please.